Okay, we're at Shmuel Beis. We are starting the last perek in Sefer Shmuel Beis. Perek Chof Dalet. We're on the 24th chapter. And it begins, V'Yosef Af Hashem L'Charos B'Yisrael. Page 382 says that Hashem's anger increased. L'Charos B'Yisrael. Rasul Sion says the Moshe Char Af. Tremendous wrath and anger. God was extremely angry at the Jewish people. What on earth did we do that deserves such anger from Hashem? What did we do? So look at this Rashi. We're in the middle of Pasuk Aleph. Rashi starts off saying, to address what was God so angry about, Lo yadati alma. I don't know. It doesn't. Not clear exactly why God is so upset. If we look in the Radak, which is right next to it, also on page 382, the very top line, B'Yosef Af Hashem, again, L'yadanu zeh ha'charon l'ma haya. The Radak also has no idea why God is angry. What's he upset about? You skip a line, he says, Ulai haya b'Yisrael oivrei avera b'seser. Perhaps what happened is that the Jewish people were doing something wrong, but it wasn't obvious, because if it was obvious, David would have taken a stop, he would have made a stand. Instead, it was something which was besaced, it was hidden, it was quiet, in the privacy of people's own homes. That's what happened. Because otherwise, we don't really know why Hashem's angry. We'll discuss some other interpretations in a second, but let's just finish this pasuk. So Hashem is angry. V'yoses as David b'hem. So Hashem incites David to sin. Le'imor leich meneyes Yisrael v'esihuda. This is the discussion of how David did the unthinkable. David did the sin of counting the Jewish people, in which we're not allowed to be counted by number. We don't count 1, 2, 3, like that there's 100 people in this room. I can't count, so there may be 100 people in this class today. I don't know. You're not supposed to count a person. I call you by a number, I'm limiting you to a number. And a Jew is not limited. We have endless potential. So we're not to be counted. Now we're going to see that for some reason David counts the Jewish people, even though it's a direct violation of the Torah. The Torah says you're not allowed to count. And when it used to be done, in order to create a census, they didn't count a head count. They used to use the shkel, right? The matzah and the shekel. Everyone would, it would be actually smart for David to have done so. He could have found out how many people were there, and he also could have made some money in the process. Right? It doesn't make any sense that he did it this way. So this is going to actually cause a bigger problem, bigger problems for the Jewish people. There's going to be more tragedy that will befall Klal Yisrael because of the mistake that David makes. So again, that is the introduction to this chapter, is that David makes this mistake. Hashem's angry, and for some reason, in reaction, he has to do something in response to God's anger. So if we look, continuing now in the Radak, but the very wide lines, we're going to see that what David's not going to do the dirty work himself. He asks someone on his behalf to do this count by the name of Yoav, his trusted person below him by the name of Yoav. And Yoav is going to question him and say, what do you mean? How can I do this? It's against the Torah. How are you asking me to sin? So if you look in the Radak, actually the line before it gets extremely wide. In the middle of that line, there's a parenthesis, it's a comma that says, "Vesiva David as Yoav sheyim the osam," that David commanded Yoav to count them. But Yekoshiv eini Yoav laso ze hadavar lafi sheyeda sheyachsur. Yoav did not want to do so because it was a mistake, and this would be a punishment, and then we'll become chaser, we'll become missing, which means we'll end up being punished because of this sin, because you're limiting the Jewish people to a number, in which you're compared to the stars in the sky. So what ends up happening is you'll cause us to be limited. Either it means that we'll limit our potential, or people actually die. And Yoav realized that this was a possibility, and he was very unsure as to why Dublin would ask him to do such a thing. And continuing after the parentheses on the first white line, said, Lomiel l'ashmu Yisrael, why are you to do this guilty, this crime to the Jewish people? V'yavopi sheyikach mehem kesef. Now, the truth is, in the event that if you would have taken money, or shum davar, or some other matter, you would maybe think that that would be good enough. And the question is that what actually happened? Perhaps when he did the census, maybe he did ask him to count not heads, but actually money, or to some other object. If that in fact would be the case, then what did David do that was so wrong? So he says, Kivan she'in osam shlo letzarach yachsaru, that we don't just count people for no reason. You have to have a reason for the census. So in the United States, every 10 years we have a census. We have census 2010 coming up. That's what we have to look forward to this year. And so every 10 years we have a census. There's a logic, there's a reason for it. But just to have, just randomly to count people, and that's not something which one is supposed to do. Even if you use the tools that you're supposed to, the maksa the shekel, or some other currency that every person has to give, and you count the coins, that's also not allowed. Skipping a few words, the Yom Rizal, that a rabbi's blessed memory say, that kol zman shenimni Yisrael l'tzarech, if the Jewish people are counted, but it's l'tzarech, there's an actual purpose in the count, there's a need, l'chasru, they're not going to be diminished. Shlo l'tzarech, however, if there's no real purpose of this count, chasru, then they will be minimized. Kamo b'yimei David, as in the days of David, which is referring to our story, in which people are going to die because of this mistake. Therefore, says the Radak, this is the last line we'll see in the Radak, Hayikash me'eni Yoav laso zeh hadavar. That's why Yoav didn't want to do this, as we'll see in the sentences. Ad shechazak davar hamelech el Yoav yal sari achayel. We're going to see that David tightened the screws and basically said, you have no choice, Yoav, you must comply to what I have to say, or else probably he'd be killed. So Yoav really didn't want to do this, and he had no choice but to listen to David. Now, if we look on the bottom of page 382 in the English, we find where it says the last paragraph, the parallel verse in Chronicles reads, a satan on evil impulse incited David to count Israel. He could, which means, as it says on the bottom right corner of page 382, he could have resisted the impulse, and he realized later that he should have done so. We're going to see that he'll eventually say, Chatasi, that I made a terrible mistake, I did a sin. So it doesn't mean that God actually forced him to do it. God doesn't force us to do anything. We have Bechira, we have free will, but sometimes God will kind of make it easier for us to stumble, putting us in certain situations in an environment which makes it easier for us to make a mistake. And that's precisely what happened in the case of David. Now the question is, so what was the purpose? If in fact it says in the Radak it was Shlo Tzarek, there was no real benefit, there was no real purpose in this counting, then why in fact did he count? So we look on the English on page 383, where it says David's motive for the census, it's worthwhile at least seeing the first two interpretations. The sages and commentators offer various reasons that may have motivated David to order the census. First of all, possibly, he simply wished to celebrate the large numbers of people in his kingdom. This is to implied by our verse, which quotes David as saying, so that I may know the number of the people. It is sinful to conduct such a census, even if the people are not counted by the head, but they are asked to submit coins or some other objects, and then the submissions are counted. So, according to the words of the Ramban, it's possible that they did use coins. That he actually did a head count, because the Torah says you can't do a head count. But what it means is that his motivation was for this negative reason, because he just wanted to celebrate the amount of people that were that he had. So he felt a sense of power and control. So if that was his motivation, which is like a self-gratifying motivation, then that's a sinful census. B. He seemed to put his trust in military might, says the Ramban, rather than in God's help. Accordingly, he wanted the census to determine how many potential soldiers were at his disposal. We know that when it comes to a Jewish army, if we have God on our side, we don't have to have numbers. We don't have to have tanks and strength and power. We need to have Hashem. And therefore, this was another mistake that David made in the census, that his whole purpose was to find out how many people were there, again, his mistake was that he to do so just for the sake of the army. Who cares how many soldiers you have? Doesn't make a difference. The fact that he felt it mattered how many people, how many soldiers there were, showed that he did not have the same bitachon, the same faith in God that he should have had. Okay, so those are gives us a little bit of insight as to why he did the counting. The question is, how could he have made a mistake? Assuming, not like the Ramban, but let's say that he actually did a head count. Actually a head count. How could he go against the Torah? The Torah itself says it's a head count. It's an interesting explanation as to how perhaps David justified his actions. Perhaps David justified his actions in the following way. It says in Mishpat Zahav, that when the Torah talks about giving a half shekel, this coin, what was the purpose of this half shekel? The purpose was in order to be able, in the times of the Mishkan, or the times of the, even the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that this money was used either in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, or the tabernacle, or in the offering of various sacrifices. So that money served a very legitimate purpose. So David perhaps rationalized like this. There's really nothing wrong with doing a head count. What's the difference? At the bottom line is I'll still know there's 1.1 million soldiers or 800,000 soldiers. So who cares if I counted them by head or I counted my coins, and after I counted the coins, it's the same thing. Who cares? It's like a game. You're playing a game. What's the difference? So therefore, David said the only reason why they're required coins is for donations for the temple, for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mishkan. However, now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash has not yet been built, right? So at this point, there's no need for these coins, and therefore I'll just do a regular head count. So that's another way you can, David perhaps could have rationalized having violated something which the Torah says. He felt what the Torah says is, was not talking about all future generations. It was only something which applied for that particular time, and not any time thereafter. So that's perhaps why David felt that he wasn't doing anything wrong. Now, there was, again, we still, there's one other piece, then we'll move on to Pasuk Beis. We'll go, in the next Pasuk, we'll go a little bit faster. Is that it says that Hashem was angry. And we concluded last week that perhaps this is the connection to the previous chapter. The previous chapter on page 380 there, mentions a whole list of great heroes, and David acknowledges them toward the end of his life, the end of the Sefer. And the last person that he mentions in the group of 37 mighty men is Uriah HaChiti, which I know Uriah HaChiti was the individual that perhaps wrongfully was sent to the front lines by David, and he was killed. And because of that, maybe that's what incited God angry, that his wrath flared upon the Jewish people, because he, again, once we remembered Uriah HaChiti, we remembered what occurred and how he was wrongly treated, and therefore, that's perhaps the reason why. Immediately afterward, this is V'yosef af Hashem v'charos v'Yisrael, that God was angry at the Jewish people because of this incident that occurred. Not that God forgot and remembered, but the reality is that once we acknowledge it, we remember it, did we react? How did we respond? We see problems and we don't do anything about it, and Hashem gets upset. Anyway, regardless, this is what David wants. He wants a head count. Pasuk Beis. Vayomer HaMelech El Yoav, so the king doesn't do the dirty work himself. He goes to Yoav Sar HaChayil. As we know, he was this powerful man in his army. And he, Asher Ito, that was with him, he said, Shut na b'chol shifte Yisrael. Shoot is brought down to Sion as Inin Halicha Navana. Go from here to there, please, to all the tribes of Israel. Midan v'ad Be'er Sheva. I want you to go all over the place, all the way from Dan, all the way down to Be'er Sheva. Uviktu es Am. I want you to count the nation. V'yodati es Mispar Am. As we saw, I want to know the number of the people in this nation. And again, perhaps that was the mistake, as we said in the Ramban, is that he said, I want to know the amount of people. What do you mean, why? Why do you want to know? Because I want to feel powerful, I want to feel in control. Especially when God's angry at me, and perhaps I feel like I'm not such a powerful king, so it mentions the Pasuk Beis, it doesn't mention his name. It says, Vayomer HaMelech. So he feels a sense of power, and he wants control. It's interesting, Pasuk Aleph, He doesn't mention that he's the king. It says that God is angry at David. Doesn't say at the king. But, and therefore, David felt, perhaps, that he was not so powerful. Now he wants to feel powerful, that he wants all the people in his nation counted, so he can feel, see how many people that I rule over. Pasukim. V'yomer Yoav el HaMelech. So Yoav said to the king, he didn't say no way, but he framed it in a more polite manner. He said as follows, V'yosef Hashem Elokecha el Am, Kohen v'Kohen, Me'ev Pa'amin. That Hashem is going to increase the amount of people in this nation like that, Me'ev Pa'amin 100 times, and some say 100 times 100, millions of times, millions. The Eini Adoni HaMelech Ra'os, and the eyes of my master, you will see it, and it's not going to be happening after you die, but you're going to actually be part of this process of seeing the growth that will continuously happen. So my master, the king, why do you desire such a thing? And the way that we look on the bottom of the Mesudas David says, with the words, Lama Chafetz, the second to last line, he says, Ratzel Amr, Hoyel the Insaf the Nosim. The truth is you don't need to count these Jewish people. Mutav, therefore it's better, Shalom and Nosim. It's better that you don't count them. Well, what's the difference if you count them, you don't count them? So he brings down, Mesudas David does, a very interesting concept. Ki ein habracha matsuya el bedavar hatsamim min ayin. Because a blessing cannot occur except for something which is blind or hidden from the eyes. If something which is out in the open, Hashem cannot do a nes. If I know that I have 100 nickels on this table, and I've counted all 100, so I know that there's 100. So if tomorrow, and I'm staring at them, and I count them, you know, there's 101, God did an open miracle. God's not going to do such an open miracle. But if I take a whole bunch of coins and I pile them all together, so I don't really know, so God may do a miracle. God does miracles in the most hidden way possible. And therefore, if we're counted, so we're not going to see growth. But if we're not counted, everything is hidden and quiet and sneeze with modesty, then Hashem will be more willing to see growth. And therefore he said it's counterproductive. If the whole purpose of your counting, David, is in order to feel good and to see how many people you're ruling over, the truth is the way that God works is that he gives bracha to things which are not counted. A person counts something, they have a specific focus of exactly what's in front of them. If you don't have a specific number, then the bracha can potentially be placed upon such a thing. And therefore that was what was being advised. That's what was being advised by Yoav to David, that that's how he should behave. Okay, so now the reality is we may see that he doesn't necessarily accept the words of Yoav. He doesn't feel that this is something worthwhile accepting. In fact, he brings down even more that when the whole concept of this bracha is only if you do the mitzvot. Brought down the Mishmas of Zahav, that the only time Hashem will actually cause the Jewish people to grow is if we observe His laws. If we don't observe His laws, we're going to be punished. And we're not going to have such blessing. So what Yoav was saying was, if you cause me to count the Jewish people, which will be sinful, what's going to happen is we're not going to grow. Rather, we're going to be diminished. However, if you allow that I do not count them, then in fact you will then and only then see this blessing that God will increase the number of the people over 100 times. So this is how he was saying that if you want to see growth, the only way that will accomplish is if I don't do the census and I don't do what you ask. But David didn't care. Pasuk Dalet. Vayechazak Devar HaMelech El Yoav. This matter, the king, David was very strong toward Yoav, the Al-Sari Achayel, as well as all the other officers in the army, and he didn't care. He didn't accept and heed that advice. David, at this point, was very focused and very close-minded and not willing to listen to what Yoav had to say. Therefore, Yoav had no choice but to listen to the king. It wasn't Yoav's fault anymore. Vayetze Yoav v'sari achai lefnei melech. So therefore Yoav went together with his group of people, his soldiers, from the king, lifgod es am es Yisrael, to count the Jewish people. Only terrible things are going to happen because of this. V'yavur es yargin. So here he is. He could have easily counted at least, you know, where David's right there, so he could have counted the people that were there. Instead, v'yavur es yargin. He crosses the Jordan, right? V'yachanu be'aroreir yamin ha'ir, asher b'toch ha'nachal ha'god ve'el yazer. For some reason, he goes, instead of being in Israel, in Canaan, he crosses the Jordan, where there's 2.5 tribes of Israel, Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh, and he says, you know what, I'm going to go to Gad. So the question is, why did he go all the way out of that way to do such a thing? Stalling tactics. That's what he was trying to do. He did not want to do this at all. He was hoping, if I can buy some time, maybe David will come to his senses, no pun intended, and he'll realize that it shouldn't be done. He shouldn't do this. So he went all the way to the other side of the Jordan, crossed the Jordan, and here he was. He had no choice but to count. So which tribe does he choose? He chooses the tribe of Gad. So what? What's so special about the tribe of Gad? If you look at Rashi on page 384, it's also said in English on the bottom of 383, but Rashi says, Hiskil b'vnei Gad. Why did Yoav begin counting, doing the census for the tribe, the people of Gad? Lefi shehim giborim b'kashim. Those people, that tribe, were known to have a reputation. They were a very rough group of people. If you would see someone from the tribe of Gad in a dark alley, you'd probably run the other direction. Those are the people of Gad. Really a scary bunch of people. Very powerful, and Kashim very powerful, very strong. Omer, so Yoav thought like this, Halavai, I only hope, V'yilchalubi, that they will wish to wage war against me, V'yachfu al yadi, and therefore I'll be held back by their hands. In other words, there'll be a conflict between me and them, I'll walk into their nation, I'll say, you know what, tribe of God, line up, a big line, I want to count all of you. They're going to say, I'm not going to allow this, it's against the Torah. No, the king says you have to do it. I don't care what the king says. And they're going to fight and not allow it. So this way, he at least will not have caused the Jewish people to sin. Very interesting. Doesn't mean that instead he's going to actually be killing a bunch of people in a war, but it means there'll be a conflict. There'll be a dispute that will emerge between the two parties. And during all this time, I won't have sinned, and hopefully again, David will have been able to realize his mistake. He didn't. He counted God. God apparently didn't say a whole lot. What you're going to see in the Pasuk Tes in a moment is their mistake. But in the meantime, let's continue the Pasuk above. B'yavo ha-gilada. So he went, he was in Gilad, b'el eretz tachtim chadshi. Then he went to this place called tachtim chadshi. We'll see the significance of that place. Seems like it says chadshi, a new town. We'll see how many people live there. V'yavo dana ya'an v'tzaviv el Sidon. And then he went to this place, Dan Ya'an, and then he went around to Sidon. So what's the significance about him going to this place called Tachtim Chadshi? Why do we need to know every little town? If he counted all the Jews, he counted all the Jews. Why do you have to tell me every little place that he went? So Rashi says again, another stalling tactic. Rashi says in Pasuk Vav, Nel Eretz Tachtim Chashi, Mokum Yishuv Chadash. This is a new Yishuv. This is a new inhabitant. They just built it. Right? So it's a new place. And what happens when it's a new place? There's Shach Saleh and Mu'atin. The amount of homes and people that are living there is Mu'atin, very small. So what did Yoav think? Ulai, perhaps, B'toich Kach, Yischari David. Maybe David will have charata, a regret. He's going to send a messenger to get me back and to end this ridiculous thing that I'm doing. So he figured, instead of counting all the Jews, every time you count a Jew is a mistake. You're not supposed to count any Jew. So if you keep, the more Jews you count, the worse it is. So he figured, I better go to the least populated cities first and count those few people and kind of hang out over there. And during that time, hopefully he'll tell me to come back. Okay. Again, he didn't. But this is at least the process that was he was going through to try to slow the whole thing down. Plus anxiety. V'yavo Mitzartzor. And then he went to Mitzartzor, which is another place. V'chol Ari Hachivi V'achnani. So he went to these other cities where the Chivi and the Kananis were. V'yetu El Negev Yehuda Be'er Sheva. He went in the Negev in the south, which is by Be'er Sheva. V'yashutu B'chol Aretz. Yeshutu, as we said before, Vesuvasim again says, the Holchon of Anah, that he went from all here and there, everywhere. B'chol Aretz. He went throughout the entire world. So when it comes to doing a census in the United States, how long does it take? Maybe it takes a year or a little less or whatever. But the United States is a pretty large country. Now when we're dealing with the Jewish people in the small little country of Israel, if you have a nice tour guide, you can see Israel in about a week or a couple weeks. You know, the Meraglim, the spies, saw it in 40 days, right? So how long would it take for him, not just him, but a whole bunch of other people to do the census? You would think it should only take a month, 2 months. Pasuk tells us, V'yavo mikseh tisha chadashim v'esrim yom Yerushalayim. It says that as they were traveling around, when did they come back to Yerushalayim? 9 months and 20 days later. So why do I have to mention 20 days later? It means that it was no exaggeration. This is how long it actually took. 9 months and 20 days. So some of the portion explain, why does it need to tell us this? It's just, again, to show their lack of motivation. When you have someone that wants to do something, it gets done, and it gets done fast. When you have someone that does not have a desire to do their task, but they're forced to do it, then they'll do it. But they're not going to do it with the same enthusiasm. And therefore, he took 9 months and 20 days to do this census. And unfortunately, David never changed. Even though there's a pasuk straight in the Torah throughout this whole time, it wasn't just a quick mistake. You know, you made a mistake at the spur of the moment, and here I am, whoops, I forgot, or something. Right? I was caught up in the moment. Here was over 9 months that he did not react, that he allowed this behavior to continue. And that's what happened. Vayitin Yoav es Mispar Mifkad El Melech. It says that Yoav did this count. Now it's interesting, you'll see, and we're going to see this in a second in Rashi, we'll first see the whole pasuk, that Mispar is a number, is a count, and Mifkad is also a count. They're both the same thing. Interesting that the two words are written next to each other in Pasuk Tes. It says Mispar and Mifkad, so it seems redundant. We don't have two of the exact same words touching one another. There must be some symbolism in that, which we'll see in a second in Rashi. So anyway, he did this count, and he presented it El Hamelech to the king. But he is to El. So how many people actually did he count? How many people were there? Shmona Meos Elef Ish Chayil. Says that there were 800,000 men of war that were shaylech cher, that can draw out their swords. The ish Yehuda chamish meos elef ish. When it came to from the people of Yehuda, there were 500,000 men. So a lot of people. David probably felt really good about himself that there was so many people. 800,000 and 500,000 from the tribe of Yehuda. Now the problem, if you look in the Radak over here, which is the first medium-sized line, which is in the middle of the page, where it says Shmon Ameos Elef Ish Chayil V'Ish Yehuda Chamish Meos Elef Ish, which is in the dark and the bold. Then it says the last two words on the line, the first medium-sized line, B'Dibur HaYomim, it says in Chronicles, V'Yikol Yisrael. How many Jews were there? Elef Alafim Umeya Elef, which is translated loosely as 1.1 million Jews. So the problem is, how could it be that over here there's 800,000, and yet in Dibur HaYomim, when it recounts how many people, it mentions a much larger number. So what happened to the other 300,000? So one explanation, as you can see in the English in 385, which we're not going to read, is the discrepancy of the totals. One simple explanation is 300,000 people died. That simple. That's what happened. It was the punishment of counting the Jews, that there was 1.1, and now there's 800,000. That's the punishment. Another interpretation is that he just didn't count all the tribes. It makes sense, because he just wasn't interested in doing it, so he probably cut as many corners as possible. Which tribes did he not count? He did not count the tribe of Levi, and he also did not count the tribe of Benjamin. It's very interesting. On this paragraph, we should see inside. On page 385, it says like this, on the right side, in the middle column on page 385, Rashi, quoting Pesikta, explains why Yoav excluded Levi and Benjamin from the census. He reasoned, Levi was never counted in the Torah together with the other tribes who were counted from the age of 20, but separately from the age of 1 month. And this is very interesting. As for Benjamin, why didn't he count the tribe of Benjamin? It is enough for them that their numbers were so decimated and diminished in the instant of the concubine of Giba, Pelegish B'Giba. And therefore, David did not want to put them at risk for another plague by including them in a census.
But then he knew that it was going to be a plague.
Right. Very strange.
Yes.
It sounds like, I thought the way to understand is Yoav didn't count them. But for some reason, David felt, count them, and there's this potential of someone dying. And for some reason, he was willing to take that risk just so that he should know how many people he has. Which is very difficult to understand. The whole thing is very, very challenging.
Did they count the women?
Apparently, it's only the soldiers. Only the soldiers. Not that women don't count. They're beyond counting. He wanted to know, that's the reason why we said the Ralbag is because he wanted to know his military might. So he just wanted to know how many soldiers he had. Okay, we look at Rashi. Rashi deals with the question that we presented as to the apparent redundancy in this pasuk. Pasuk test again says Mispar Mifkad. He said he gave him accounting, and he gave him an accounting. So, which one is it? So, Rashi tells us something very funny, or amusing, I should say, which, if you have a good accountant, they very much appreciate this Rashi. Rashi says, "Im mispar lama mifka." If it already says that there was a number in accounting, why does it say there's a reckoning? It's the same thing. So it says like this, that Yoav, similar to every good CPA, Shnei Anfiros Asa. He had two sets of books. Yeah, two sets of books. Gedola Katana. One with the bigger numbers and one with the smaller numbers. So when it comes to in business, so the executive board knows the big numbers and Uncle Sam knows the small numbers. So this is what Yoav thought as well. Omar, he said, Arenu Asa Katana. I'm first going to show David a smaller number. V'im Yaksov, if he gets angry, already knows the Gedolim. We say, I was just tricking, I was lying to you, here's the larger numbers. L'kach nemar mifkad lashon chisaron. Therefore, it mentions this number that there was less. Mifkad is a language somehow which shows that there were less. So, because of that, that's what he did. So, what's the justification in that? So, I haven't seen this anywhere, but I imagine one of two possibilities. Probably more than two answers, but certainly possibly these two answers. First of all, that what Yoav maybe was thinking was that he knew that David was a Baal Gaiva, he was becoming haughty. So the more number, the bigger number he gives him, the greater level of haughtiness he'll have. So he figured, you know what, let me give him a smaller number. He doesn't really say what that number was. And if he's content, so he'll be like, well, you know what, I don't really have such a big army. You know, I'm not such a great guy. If he says, you know what, what's going on over here? Then he has to give him the bigger number. So the question is, so he's going to say, what, you were lying to me? You lied to me. Well, you just, which one is it? So that, maybe that's precisely the point. Sometimes if you promise someone something small, and then you deliver something much larger, they appreciate the large thing so much more. So maybe even though in fact, there was 1.1 million. There was less. People died. Let's say that's what happened. So he first of all gave a much lower number, saying, oh my goodness, look at this. All these people died. I have such a small amount of people. So, no, you know what? I forgot this paper over here. I forgot to count and calculate this. My calculator wasn't working properly. It's really this number. It's like, oh, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. So maybe another explanation as to why that happened. But Rashi then throws in something else. When it came to this count, it says, Fatihi Yisrael. Now, what does Rashi throw in over here? Which, Fatihi Yisrael has a, we know, like in all languages, excluding English, there's a Lashon Nekev and Lashon Zachar, that all words are feminine, or a word is a masculine, right? And the way to speak changes based on who you're talking to. English is one of the few languages where you can say, hi, how are you doing? How are things by you? And the person listening to you talking doesn't know if you're speaking to a man or a woman. But if you're speaking in Hebrew and you say, how are you doing? You'll know if you're speaking to a man or a woman. You'll say, ma shlamech, ma shlamcha. Same thing in any other language. So when it comes to here, it was in a feminine nature. And Rashi says, you're not going to like this Rashi, which is precisely why I like sharing the ones that you don't like. Tashas koichan kenekeva. That the Jewish people came weak, just like a woman. That's what Rashi says. They were weak. Doesn't mean that women are weak, but it means that they did not assert themselves in some fashion. What does it mean that they didn't assert themselves? So what perhaps what Rashi is saying, we'll conclude with this thought, is that when it came to Yoav had no choice. He had to listen to David. But he went to Dan, this God, this powerful nation, this powerful tribe. They did nothing. And then he did a census to every single Jew. Every single Jew that was a soldier knew the Torah, they know the law. They didn't stop him. When you see someone making a mistake, doing something wrong, should you be quiet? Should you be weak? Should you be silent? No. You have to stand up. If you see that there's something wrong, you have to take a stand for that which is going wrong. And therefore, Rashi is alluding to the fact that the entire census happened and no one protested. It wasn't just David's mistake. It was also the Jewish people's mistake. Which answers perhaps the biggest question is that if David made a mistake by doing the census, so why do the Jewish people have to suffer? It's your mistake, not ours. It's because the Jewish people also knew the law. And even if you have a powerful person like a king that's doing something, but if he's doing something which is wrong, you have to speak up. Even if it means maybe my life will be hanging in the balance, I may be killed by this king, but if he's violating that which is the law from the King of Kings, from God, from Hashem, then you have to speak up. And therefore, the fact that we did not do so, we were punished. Ultimately, as we'll see next week, we will not see next week, because next week is Yom Kippur. Yeah, we'll see in 2 weeks, is that David repents and realizes the error of his ways. And in fact, from what we'll see next week, is a sentence which is, until when I learned this, I've never had the insight when we say Tachnun, which is right after the Amidah, after the Shemoneh Esrei, when a person puts their head on their arm and says this prayer every day, the sentence that introduces Tachnun is taken from this very chapter based on the mistake that David made. We'll see that in 2 weeks.